Our God is a great and awesome God. Amen. Boy, y'all are fortunate this morning. You're here in church and you get to hear a sermon preached by Big Ugly. Amen. God is good. If you're joining us for the very first time in either these services in person or on the live stream, or you're going to listen later on the web, you need to know that we are coming today to preach to you from the Word of God. And we're in the third message in our series now entitled The Marks of a Christian, a True Disciple of Christ. And throughout this series, we've been asking the question, if someone were to accuse you of being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict? And the reason we ask this question, and it's a very important question, is because present-day religion far too often seeks to soothe the conscience instead of awaken the soul, and it produces a sense of self-satisfaction and eternal safety rather than a sense of awe at the holiness of Almighty God. And the result of all of this has been it's no longer easy to tell those who are saved from those who are lost. There are a lot of people today claiming they know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Only problem is their lives remain absolutely unchanged. There's no evidence of genuine faith or of saving faith at work in their lives because they're still doing the deeds of darkness. What are the deeds of darkness? Well, they are those things that God, that people do, that God says in His Word ought not to be done. We are living in an age of pretenders. And though I know that some people still believe if it's on the internet, hey, it must be true, that's simply not the case, is it? So I think we can all agree with this. We're living in a very perplexing age. Amen? And yet Jesus, that's what I love about the Bible, because Jesus spoke about this age, this generation in which you and I are living, and this is what Jesus had to say about this age. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds be reproved. And when it comes to the church of Jesus Christ in this world today, Jesus said in the church, Jesus spoke about, He preached about the fact that there's going to be wheat and tares. The wheat are those who bear the marks of a Christian, a true disciple of Christ, and the tares are those who do not bear those marks, and they're not a true disciple of Christ. And Jesus gave us a command in Matthew 12 and 33. He said, either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by his fruit. Now, he wasn't talking about the trees of the woods. He was talking about this thing you and I walk around in, the tree of our life. Either make it good or make it corrupt. But friend, we're going to be known by the fruit, the marks that we produce. And so we need to think about this. We need to ask ourselves a question. Is the tree of your life producing the marks of a Christian, a true disciple of Christ? Now, the first mark, of course, you got your Bible open there in 1 John. Look with me at verse 7. He says, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Now, remember, the important thing is where we're walking. Are you walking daily in the light of God's Word? Have you come to the precious Word of God? Have you come into the presence of God and allowed the Word of God to shine upon your sinful heart? The second mark is this. It's still there in verse 7. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Are you a sinner who's been washed in the blood? I want you to know, John says, if a person is having fellowship with God and has been cleansed by the blood, if a person says they're having fellowship with God and they've been cleansed by the blood, but they are still, they practice daily sin in their life, he says that person's lying. Family and friends, in this age in which we live, when so many want to pick and choose a verse of Scripture out of the Bible so that they can create their own truth, we better know the Bible and what the Bible says, because the Bible, what the Bible truly teaches, because here's the thing. Your life, my life, and the lives of all of those who are listening today depend on it. It depends on it. You know, one of the big milk companies likes to make capital of the fact that their cows are all satisfied with their lot in life, and so that their clever ads have made the term contented cows familiar to everyone. But you know, I got to thinking about that, and I think what is virtue in a cow may be a vice in a man, and contentment when it touches spiritual things is surely a vice. Contentment with earthly goods is the mark of a saint, but contentment with our spiritual state, however, is the mark of inward blindness. That's why Billy Graham said, Mr. Average Man, he's comfortable in his complacency and as unconcerned as silverfish ensconced in a carton of discarded magazines on world affairs. Man is not asking any questions today because his social benefits from the government give him false security. This is the trouble and his tragedy. Modern man has become a spectator of world events, observing on his television screen without wanting to get involved. He watches the ominous events of our times pass before his eyes while he sits in his chair, sips his beer, but he does not seem to realize what is happening all around him. He does not understand that this world is on fire, and unless he gets right with God, he's going to burn as well. Take your Bibles this morning and be finding 1 John chapter 2, and if you're able, rise as we honor the Lord with the reading of His Word here this morning from 1 John chapter 2. I'm going to begin in verse 3. Well, I'm going to go back and begin in verse 1. So follow along. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteousness. And He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby we know that we are in Him. Would you bow your heads with me in prayer? Father, we just thank You for this precious hour that You have given unto us. And Lord, as Brother Trey mentioned at the very beginning, how much better this world would be if we would just obey. Father, we're thankful to know that we have a Savior who loves us in spite of our disobedience. But Lord, we also know we have a Savior, a Son that You sent to die on the cross for the sins of all mankind. A precious gift is being sent from heaven above, and yet men laugh at it, they scorn it, they spit in the face of God's grace. Lord, man left to himself is nothing more than an utter fool. And Lord, we just pray today that You would get a hold of our hearts, that You would get a hold of our lives, that You would awaken us from our lethargy, that we would see the great need that we have to allow God to rule and reign in our hearts and in our lives. And Lord, we pray for the lost man or woman or child who may be listening this morning, that they would see their great need for Jesus. In Christ's name we pray, and all of God's people said, amen. What we need to understand is that this is the second time in John's gospel here, his epistle, that he is calling men to account. And I want you to note that God says, if you claim to know Jesus Christ, then the outpouring of your love and appreciation for all that God has done for you in Christ is that you will walk in the light and you will obey. Remember what John said in 1:6, and I hope you keep your Bibles open because they're very close in passage. But look over there at chapter 1, verse 6. He says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. And here in verse chapter 2, verse 4, God says, he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Well, family and friends, what is God getting at here? He's getting at the truth that salvation is both a gift and a demand. The gift of God is eternal life. The Bible says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. But salvation is also a demand, and the demand is this, 2 Corinthians 5 and 15, and that he died for all, that they which live should no longer henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. And God is simply teaching you and I that we can't bring God down to our level. Friend, do you not know that God is the potter and we are the clay? Does the clay get to say to the potter, no, you're wrong. This is the way it has to be. No, he is the potter. We are the clay. We got that wrong in our world today. And God is getting at the truth that salvation is a gift and a demand. And God is simply teaching us we cannot bring God down to our level. But here's what we can do. We can allow God to lift us up to his level. We can't be rationalizing. We cannot be condoning some sin in our life and then think that we are having fellowship with God, because God says here in two places, you are not. God says, friend, if you believe that, you're a liar. I want you to think about this. Who are you lying to? You're lying to yourself. I can't think of anything that's more tragic, can you? Than someone who's lying to themselves and yet believing that their lie is the truth. I don't think anything could be more sadder in all of life. And I also believe that's why Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? You know, here's what I think it means for the modern church. Lord, don't you know my name's on the membership roll, that chart? Lord, don't you remember when I said those magical words, I prayed that little prayer, I thought I was good to go? Lord, don't you know I've done been baptized? Lord, I did all the right things, but friend, the heart was never changed. It was just a show. It was just a show. And Jesus said, and then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now let's pause for just a moment and think about what God has taught us so far in this series. God has taught that the only way we can claim to be having fellowship with him is if we walk in the light. Are you walking in the light of God's word on a daily basis? Do you know what God is teaching? Do you know what God has said? We're living in a world today where very few, when you think about the millions of people in this world today, are looking into the perfect law of liberty, the light of the word of God. And then God says, if you say you have fellowship with me, it's if we've been cleansed by the blood. Has the blood of Jesus Christ washed you and made you clean? What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You know, that ought to say something to us. Some precious, very, very precious blood had to be shed to forgive me, to forgive you. Let's just say the worst sin we ever committed was just telling a little half-truth, that's it, nothing more. Now we've done more than that. But blood had to be shed. Precious blood, holy blood, righteous blood to forgive us. And yet, isn't it true in the day in which we're living, we take sin so lightly, we just brush it off like it's not that big a deal at all, isn't it? That's what we do, isn't it? And then he says, if we obey. Now, the purpose of this sermon series is to encourage all of us to do what God says we're to do. That's the whole reason for this series. What does God say we're to do? God says we're to examine ourselves. We must be certain that what we claim to be true about ourselves is true and we can be found living in the light of His Word. That's why we find God saying, 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourselves. Now, how many of you would agree with this? We're living in a day and age where we like to look across the aisle. We like to look to the other side of the church. We like to examine everybody else, but we just don't want to examine ourselves. Isn't that true? I mean, that's how they do it in the world today. Everybody wants to examine everybody else. Nobody wants to examine themselves. But God says right here, friend, you better examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith, prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves? How that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobate. Friend, how can you claim that Jesus Christ lives inside of you and then you go out and live continually in sin? It's what you practice day after day after day. How can any of us believe that? How can we lie to ourselves? The worst lie we've ever told, the worst lie that some people have ever told is the lie they tell themselves every single day, I'm all right, it's everybody else. God will accept me. He's just not going to accept you. That's the worst lie. We're told to examine ourselves and see. See. What are we to examine ourselves by? The Word of God. We're to see if we're in here. We're to see if we bear the marks of a true disciple. We're to be certain that our life has changed. And I will say again, your life depends on it. Because one day, you know as well as I do, we're leaving this old world behind. Some of us, we just going to fly away. I hope you're in that crowd. Other people are going to lay on their deathbed in holy terror and holy fear because they weren't certain. They weren't right with God. And so it's my prayer for myself, for you, and for all those listening that you will do exactly what God says to do, that you will examine yourself, that you will make certain beyond a shadow of a doubt that every one of these marks that we're going to discuss, you bear, that you are a true disciple of Christ. And I want to talk to you this morning about four calls. The first God makes to everybody, and then there are three calls that God makes to His child. And so the first call God makes is the call to salvation. Salvation is the free gift of God to all mankind. You know what the song says. We learned it when we were little children. Red and yellow, black and white. They're all precious in His sight. Say amen, because you know that's true. I want to tell you, this heresy that's out there today comes straight from the devil. I can understand it, because there's a lot of prejudice in this world. But friend, it's not only black lives that matter, all lives matter. All lives matter. The Bible tells us, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, God wasn't talking about the planet. He was talking about the people. God loves everybody. God loves everybody. And yet, knowing this, man still refuses to accept God's gift. And you want to know why people refuse to accept God's gift? It's because it requires that they admit that they have failed, that they have fallen short of the glory of God. And you see, the pride in the old human heart just not going to let them admit that. And therefore, God says, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds be reproved. Now, we just heard a beautiful old gospel song. And, you know, it's interesting. One of the old gospel songs gives a description of the Holy Spirit's invitation to the sinner. And each time the Lord pleaded with him, the sinner made excuses. You know, we're living in a world full of excuses today, aren't we? Everybody's got an excuse about why they can't do something. And unfortunately, that even happens in the church. And finally, though, this old sinner, he just kept making one excuse after another. And he became so hardened of heart that he lost all interest. And I bet you know people like that today. Their hearts are just so hard, they've lost all interest in what God has to say. They're dull of hearing. They don't want to hear it at all. But I can still recall the sad conclusion of that old hymn. This is what it said. This spirit sweet wooings and chidings are o'er. The Lord of the vineyard stands waiting no more. There was a poem entitled The Four Calls. It expressed a similar sentiment, and I want to share that with you this morning. The Spirit came in childhood and pleaded, "Let me in." But oh, the door was bolted by thoughtlessness and sin. "I am too young," the child replied, "I will not yield today. There's time enough tomorrow." And the Spirit went away. Again he came and pleaded in youth's bright happy hour. He came but heard no answer, for lured by Satan's power, the youth lay dreaming then and saying, "Not today, O Lord, not today, not till I've tried earth's pleasures." And the Spirit went away. Again he called in mercy in manhood's vigorous prime, but still he found no answer, because the man had no time. No time for true repentance, no time to think or pray, and so repulsed and saddened, the Spirit went away. Once more he called and waited. The man now was old and ill. He scarcely heard the whisper. See, his heart was cold and still. When the Lord called, he said, "Go. When I need thee, I will call." Then sinking on his pillow, without a hope, he died. Both the lyrics and the poem depict the terrible end of all people who refuse and reject Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior. How sad that so many today will say to the old preacher when he's out there trying to lead them to Christ, "Oh, preacher, in a while." Little do they realize that they've bought one of Satan's most successful wiles. Wait a while. How sad that some will choose harden their heart toward God, never comprehending how foolish, how ignorant that any man or woman is who believes they control their own destiny. Friend, you won't draw another breath unless God allows it. You will not take another step unless God allows it. And if you're here this morning and unsaved, you may not hear another message unless God allows it. This may be your opportunity to come to know Christ as Savior today. Don't blow it. Oh, I know many young today like to be a gambler. They want to gamble with their life. But little do they realize every gambler loses. There's only one sure thing, and his name is Jesus Christ. You need to be found standing on the rock. You want your destiny controlled, you need to put your life in the hand of the Savior. He's got the whole world in his hands. Amen? He's got his children in his hands. I need to ask you this morning, especially in light of the world in which we're living. You examine your heart now. You take just a moment, you be courageous. do the most courageous thing you've ever done in your life, and that is you examine your heart in the light of God's Word. And then let me ask you this question. Have you obeyed His call to salvation? Are you truly saved? Now the second call comes, and it comes to God's child. And God's child alone. And that call is this: be holy. Remember that salvation is both a gift and demand. God demands that we live holy lives. It's written in His Word. That is what is true of us positionally. You know, you ever wonder why the cross is like this? It's because God saves us. He cleanses us by His blood. Positionally, when we come to know Christ, we're made right by the blood of Christ. When God looks at you or I today, He looks at us through the blood of Jesus Christ. But friend, this here represents our practical day-to-day walk with Jesus Christ. And then we get into what we practice on a daily basis. Can I ask you this morning, are you practicing living a holy life? This is how God puts it. He says, be holy for I am holy. 1 Peter 1:15 and 16. But as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Have you ever stopped to think about what does it mean to be holy? Well, let me share with you. It means that we're not to live for this world. We're to be set apart for it and from it. We're to be light. We're to be salt. Friend, if you look just like this world looks, what makes you any different from this world? How can you be light if you're walking in darkness? You see, it means we have to abstain from all appearance of evil. It means we're not to be unequally yoked. It means that we're to do what 2 Corinthians 10 and 5 tells us, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of God. Why is it that some folks will obey the call to salvation, but they will not obey the call to holy living? Have you ever stopped to think about that? Why is that? You know, Lot, you don't have to read very far in the Bible. Just get to about Genesis chapter 13. You read all about Lot. Lot was Abraham's nephew, you recall. He was like that. He obeyed the call to salvation, but he wouldn't obey the call to holy living. You see, he looked across the plain of the old world, and he saw Sodom and Gomorrah, and then he thought to himself, you know, I'm just going to get close to that world, but I won't touch it. I won't touch it. I just want to be close to it. And so he pitched his tent near those cities, and it wasn't long before the lure of the nights and the noise and the lights got to him. And you know what? You read a little bit farther and you find him living right in the midst of all that stuff. Now this old world today, it's just like Sodom and Gomorrah, isn't it? I mean, everything that was happening in Sodom and Gomorrah is happening in our world today. And a lot of people have pitched their tent. They say, well, I just want to get close to it. I just want to feel part of it. I won't get lured into it. But friend, do you realize that when Satan comes knocking at the door of your heart as a guest, I want to tell you, just don't let him in. Because if you let him in, he don't want to remain a guest. He wants to rule in you. Lot, Abraham's nephew, is a reminder of that. Lot teaches the truth of that. And as a result of it, Lot wouldn't, a choice he made, and then he couldn't live a holy life because of the choices he's made. You know, that's just like a lot of people today. Lot was nothing more than a hypocrite. That's all he was. Nobody in Sodom and Gomorrah ever believed a word that Lot said about God. Lot thought he was all right with God. He thought he was having fellowship. He thought he was a doer of the word, but he wasn't. He was just a hearer. And therefore, he just deceived his own self. And I'm going to say again, you cannot bring God down to your level. Lot and his life are the proof, all the proof we need to know. We cannot bring God down to our level. We cannot get wrapped up in this world. We are called to be salt and light, and if we look like the world, how are we going to reach the world? I want to share with you that Lot speaks of something I said last week, so I'm going to share very quickly with you this week, that one of the greatest crimes against God and the testimony of God today is committed by folks who claim they're having fellowship with God, yet they live like the world lives, they talk like the world talks, they act like the world acts, they've adopted the world's standards and the world's morals, they live for the world's pleasures with the world's attitude. Everything is about them. All they care about is taking care of number one. And I'm going to tell you also that if Lot was a church member here at Green Valley, you would not have liked him one bit. And the cause of Christ would have suffered as a result of it. How many of you know this old truth? It's still true today. It only takes one bad apple to spoil a bushel. And many a church suffers today because of one disobedient apple that spoils the work, the testimony, and the ministry of the whole bushel. God has called you and I to be holy. Remember that God cannot bless a filthy vessel. First John 1:6, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie. Do not the truth. Well, let me ask you another question, because I'm full of questions. They're questions I ask myself. So I'm going to ask you. Are you obeying God's call to be holy? And then there's a third call that God makes upon His child's life, and that's the call to service. Jesus said, Mark 10:45, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many. God has called the Christian to serve as Christ served. Now, friend, you need to understand something. God's never going to ask you to do something He didn't model. He's already paved the way for you. He's already serving. He serves you every day. But, you know, many seem to have forgotten that God has equipped His child to serve Him in His body, the local church where He's placed him. His word says, as every man hath received a gift. See, every one of us have a gift we can use in the body of Christ. As every one hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And yet in far too many places today, the cause of Christ suffers because God's children are being disobedient to the call to serve. You know, Fred somebody, Thomas everybody, Susan anybody, and Joe nobody were neighbors, but they weren't like you or me. They were odd people and most difficult to understand. The way they lived with us was a complete shame, and all four belonged to the same church, and you can be thankful you're not a member of their church. You see, everybody went golfing, or they decided that sports leagues were more important, or they thought, you know, I need to stay home and entertain my friends, or I need to sleep in, because after all, Sunday's the only day I got off. Anybody wanted to worship, but was afraid somebody wouldn't speak to her. So guess who went to church? Nobody. Really, nobody was the only decent one of the four. Nobody did the visitation. Nobody wanted to serve on the committees of the church. Once they needed help with that church in the nursery and in the children's church, and everybody thought anybody would do it, and anybody thought somebody should do it, and guess who did it? You got it. Nobody. And then it happened that a fifth neighbor moved into the neighborhood, and this fifth neighbor was an unbeliever. And everybody thought somebody should try to win him for Christ. Anybody could have made an effort, and you probably know by now who finally won him. Say it with me. Nobody. Every member of the church is responsible for God's work. If you leave it for somebody, or everybody, or anybody, nobody's going to do it. Friend, we're to serve because He served. And it is my prayer for myself as well as for you that as long as we have life and breath, we would rather wear out for God than rust out. Then there's that fourth call. That's call of accountability. Paul wrote to the Roman Christians and to us today these words, Romans chapter 14, but why dost thou judge thy brother? You know how many churches have suffered through the years. Because everybody wants to judge everybody else, but nobody wants to judge themselves. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let's let that sink in for a moment. In far too many churches all across this nation, and maybe right here, I don't know, you know, Christians sit in judgment of one another, don't they? Thereby destroying the love and the unity and presence of God in their fellowship. It's hard to love someone else if you're going to sit in judgment upon them. It's hard to love another if you're going to look and judge them for their faults, the way they look, and not take the time to examine your own self. But you know, God wants us to know, and God doesn't lie, does he? God just says it the way it is. Friend, one day you need to know this. You're going to give an account of yourself. You're not going to give an account of yourself to old Pastor Don. You're not going to give an account of yourself to your wife or your husband or your children, your neighbor, or any member of this church. You are going to give an account of yourself to God and God alone. How much more graceful and loving would the family of God be if they spent more time at examining themselves instead of wagging their tongues about what others did or did not do? A church is to be a hospital for sinners, not a haven for saints, because family and friends, if the truth be told, we are all broken people in need of a Savior's loving grace. Now let's make an application as we close. Have you obeyed the call to salvation? Are you living a holy life? Are you serving Christ and his body as he's asked? And when it comes to this last call, you and I have got no choice, because the Bible says we're going to give an account. You've got an appointment. I hope you understand that. We have an appointment. We're going to stand before a holy, righteous God. And he's going to look at you and I, and he's going to say, okay, let's have it. You know, God says here, 1 John 2:3, and hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. Are you doing what God has asked of you? Are you obeying God in your life completely, wholeheartedly, unabashedly? You don't care what other people think, what other people say, because all that matters to you is that you please the Lord your God. Oh, how I hope so. I hope, dear friend, you've obeyed the call to salvation. But if you've not obeyed that call yet, you need to know today is the day of salvation. There may not be another. That's why it's called today. If you don't know Christ as Savior, you need to be up here today asking Jesus to save your soul. But then, in this world, we as Christians, sometimes we... it's so easy to get off track. Amen? Would you all agree with that? It's easy to get off track. It's easy to take our eyes off of what God has said. And that's why I'm so thankful for altar calls, because it helps us get right with God. Oh, I'm so thankful God gives his people a place every week where they can come and they can confess their sin. And you know what the Bible says, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us all from all unrighteousness. Man, you may have come in here this morning weighed down by life's stuff. But when you give it to God, you can walk out of here today free from life's stuff with a new perspective and a new freedom, and you'll be walking in victory, the victory that He provides. That's your choice. As I say, we live in a world today where many hear and they just don't do. But I hope and I pray and I strive by His help that you and I will know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God has said we're to be doers of this word and not a hearer only, deceiving our own selves. Oh, friend, don't be deceived. Well, Brother Marty, you come and you lead us in this invitational hymn. If God has spoken to your heart this morning, friend, you need to come. You need